You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, in for Tiziana Dearing.
The Empress doesn't
That's Brockton's own Naomi Westwater giving us a sneak peek of their new song, The Empress. Naomi's on a mission to reclaim folk music. What does that mean? Well, Naomi's going to tell us about it right now here in Studio 2. Naomi, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so the first time I think I saw you was last summer at City Hall for Beats by Girls Fest.
Yep, yeah.
How did you like that event? How did it go for you?
Oh, it was amazing. We had so much fun, and we have rebranded, but we're going to be back this summer. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Back at City Hall?
We'll be in downtown Boston.
Downtown, okay. Yeah. Folks, make a note. I want to get into who you are for folks who may not be familiar. Now, from what I understand, you grew up in Cape Cod.
Yep.
But you're in Brockton now.
I'm in Brockton now, yep.
So you're a Massachusetts native.
Yes.
You are from here. You are New England born.
Yes.
Talk to me about your upbringing.
Well, I grew up in a multiracial household. My dad's family's from Barbados and my mom's family's from Massachusetts. And there was always a lot of music happening in the house, and all types of music. Lots of reggae, lots of folk music, classic rock, jazz. And my dad ran restaurants. So in the summer times, I was working from a very early age. And then as soon as I could talk, I was singing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell me, who are the artists that stuck with you as you were growing up and got you into folk music?
Yeah, my mom played a lot of Laura Nyro and a lot of Joni Mitchell. But also, my parents both really loved Bob Marley and saw him in concert a bunch of times. And so I think when you broaden folk music as not just a genre, but also political music, I think a lot of reggae is folk music, as in it's music of the people, and it's trying to change culture and uplift people.
Well, with that said, you recently wrapped up Reclaiming Folk, Celebrating People of Color in Folk Music. It was a free music festival with performances around Massachusetts, and it ran from February to April, and it was highlighting artists of color. I want to talk about that real quick. Let's get into it. First, I want to know, how did that event go?
It was the most amazing thing. And I don't know if you have these moments in your life where you just feel like, oh, this is my purpose.
I know nothing about that.
But I just felt not only was it fun and inspiring and the music was amazing, but it just felt like this is right. And I felt that with the other musicians and the audience as well. Like, the audience would stay after the show for a really long time. We'd have to like kick them out because they were just so inspired and uplifted. It was the first series of many, hopefully, and we want to bring it back next year and in the fall. And but it was incredible, and I feel very, I feel hopeful after it.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful feeling when you find the thing where you feel aligned with it, you know?
Totally.
Every time I sit in this chair behind the mic and I'm talking to someone, having a great conversation, it's awesome. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Now, let's get into the name, Reclaiming Folk.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what that means to you.
To me, I think for such a long time, I did not feel comfortable being a folk musician. Especially in the Boston area, Boston is still very segregated in the music. So it was like, if I went to a folk club, I'd be the only person of color. And if I went to places where there were lots of people of color, it wasn't the music that I listened to or wanted to play. And so I started kind of, looking for other people of color who made folk music, who have made folk music and who are currently making folk music, and got into the folk collective at Club Passim. And all of those things just really inspired me, but I needed it for myself to feel like I could belong. And then learning more about the history of folk and realizing, all popular music, American music, comes from the roots of Black people and Indigenous people. So kind of wanting to reclaim and say like, oh, this has genre actually has belonged to me this entire time. And people of color have been here making this music, and sometimes the music has been stolen, or sometimes people haven't gotten their flowers, but wanting to reclaim it because it's not a white genre.
Right.
And, you know, the banjo is an instrument from Africa, for example. Mm-hmm. So I think people, and we do this in the shows, you know, we talk a little bit about the history, and we always, every artist covers a person of color in the folk scene and history. So people have been covering Lead Belly. I've been singing some Taj Mahal, some Odetta songs, some Valerie June songs, just kind of highlighting these other people in the world who've been making this music and who've made this genre possible.
I want to ask, why is that important now?
Yeah.
You know, I understand it's an important thing to do, to educate people on the roots of folk music and who made it what it is. But talk to me about the significance of that right now, today.
We need to change the culture, and we can't wait anymore. And I think, you know, people will ask me, like, well, what do you do when people don't like what you're doing or don't get it? And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I can't bring everyone with me, but we're moving into the future that we want.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wait anymore until it's, like, my turn or my time. The time is now, and I'm going to make it happen. If people don't want to open doors, I'm going to open my own doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel. Like, we just, you know, so often I think people of color, especially people who are making culture, doing culture things, are told, you know, to wait. And we're not waiting anymore. And I want to create the world that I want to live in. So that's part of what I want to do. I want to be, and I am a part of this genre, and I want to make space for myself and all of the other amazing musicians in my community whose stories need to be told.
Mm-hmm. You're taking that space, and you're taking those steps.
Yeah.
Right on. So speaking of which, you got some new music.
I got new music coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a song called Oh Nothing, Oh But Nothing Is the Same.
Yep.
OBTNS.
Yep.
Or OBNTS.
Yep.
And you're my feeling. So, Naomi, as I understood the song after listening to it, I heard a song about growth,
mm-hmm.
Change, and the differences that come with it. Then I saw on Instagram, you said it's a song for a friend breakup, it's a song for climate change anger, and it's a song of the summer.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the inspiration for this song.
I broke up with my two best friends who were both like bridesmaids in my wedding.
Friend breakups are brutal.
They're really brutal,
yeah.
And I was sad about it, and it was an unseasonably warm day in May, and I was writing a song about it. The song kind of just poured out. And I think ultimately for me, I think what the song is about is the grief and acceptance that our lives before the pandemic are not coming back.
Yeah.
And so that's what, like, Oh But Nothing's the Same. It's just like kind of like, all right, I'm grieving that, and I'm also accepting that we can't go back. We just have to move forward through
it. Yeah. Yeah. And okay, you just confirmed something for me.
Yeah.
So you open the song saying, it's summertime in May,
mm-hmm.
which I agree, because I think summertime starts after Memorial Day.
Sure.
but I heard it's summertime in Maine.
Oh, no, May, yeah.
Because I guess I hear you as such a New England artist. You know, your lyrics are very poetic and intellectual and insightful, and there's references to nature.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very, I want to sit in the grass.
Yeah.
You know? I wonder how much energy and inspiration do you draw from this environment, from New England?
All of it. I mean, I'm a Yankee Doodle girl. Like, like, you know, I think that's another part of, like, reclaiming folk, and a lot of New England is, in the, you know, is folk music too. But I've been working on an album for the last couple years, and the entire album is inspired by nature, and specifically New England and where I grew up on the Cape and where I'm now. And that's where I get my most inspiration is, you know, going out and walking in the woods or walking the beach or spending a lot of time in my garden,
because
mm-hmm. I'm just kind of not thinking. And I'm there's so much metaphor in nature and in gardening. You know, I'm really concerned about what's happening with our planet. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are of nature, not separate from it. And all of the things that are happening to climate change are going to directly affect us.
Yes.
Because we're a part of nature. This is our planet. So I also write a lot to just express my anger about what's going on and the lack of leadership and the fact that we have the resources to prevent climate change, but our leaders have decided not to do anything about it. So I think I'm very inspired by the poet Mary Oliver, and her philosophy was to get people excited about nature by uplifting nature and showing how amazing it is instead of bringing in fear. And so I've been trying to do that a lot in my work, is just incorporate nature, because I think if people feel connected to the earth, they'll feel inspired to protect it.
Before this interview, I stumbled on your song, First Yellow Flower.
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
Thank you.
Beautiful song. But back to OB. NTS?
Yes. I know, it's a mouthful.
There is a part in the song that I really like, and I want to play that right now.
Mm-hmm. We were on the same page, and now I'm feeling...
Now, I understand a little better, because it's about a breakup, right?
Yeah.
But I really liked how you said used.
Yeah.
Used. Why'd you do it that way?
I was angry. And I think this song is, yeah, it's allowing me to get my anger out. And whenever I'm performing, you know, this is a song I wrote a couple years ago, and I don't feel that way anymore, but I always go back to that feeling, and I go back to my past self, and I connect it to those feelings and let them out. And I think in that way, music and performing is incredibly therapeutic.
And another line in the song, you said, individuality is F-wording lonely.
Yeah.
How often do you feel like that? Do you ever feel lonely as your authentic self?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm Black, I'm multiracial, I'm queer, I'm a witch, I'm an artist, I'm outside the margins. And it is lonely, but I'm also finding my people. So, and I think, you know, before this song, I was maybe trying to conform a little bit more to the people that I was already friends with. So, but since writing this song, I've found such amazing community. So, but I think, you know, people who are outside of the society on the margins, we do feel lonely often.
Yeah. It's awesome that you're finding your people, right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Tell me how those parts of your identity, your Blackness, your queerness, your multiracialness, tell me how all of that kind of shapes your approach to music.
I'm just letting myself be myself, and I'm making music for me and for people like me. And anybody can listen to it and love it and appreciate it and connect with it. But I have to be authentically me and taking up space in those ways. And I think because of that, the music feels real and good, because I'm not trying to be somebody else.
Naomi, this has been awesome.
Thank you so much.
I could talk to you for days. Thank you so much for
coming
through.
Thanks for having me.